Board of Directors Business Meeting. It is March 2nd, 2021, 5 p.m., and we are meeting via BlueJeans off video conference call per the governor's executive order. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
John Carlton.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3, approval of the minutes of the February 2nd, 2021 business meeting. Are there any corrections or comments?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the minutes of the February 2nd, 2021 business meeting.
I'll second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of February 2nd, 2021. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Your
hand.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion is approved unanimously. Item 4, the financial report. 4A is accounts payable for February 2nd, February 15th, and February 28th. Of 2021. Are there any questions or comments on the accounts payable? Tom?
On the entries for the 15th of February to consolidated supply, I just did some quick numbers. It appears that as far as the actual devices themselves, came to $236,447.89. Labor was the what we mentioned last meeting, contracted at $48,657. And using that was for 1,150 meters to be installed, with 300 to be installed by the authority. Using the $42.31 estimation that the contractor was going to charge us, the remaining 300 would be approximately, it's an estimate.
Uh-oh.
Tom? Oscar Tom?
Let's give him a minute and see if he'll be right back. There he is.
I'm having network problems, evidently. But my question was for Kirk. The total I came up with was $297,797.89, which is just under $300,000. Was that about what we projected?
Yes, Tom, I thought I knew where you were headed because you did the same thing I did. I actually pulled up the cost-benefit worksheet and looked at the sum of all of the radios and verified that we were on track. What made this look a little lower this month than normal, I think we had previously been billed for 300 meters that we received early. I may be incorrect, but we're pretty darn close.
Okay, my next question is the generator maintenance. The total for Cummings was $8,567.47. Is that about normal for a yearly maintenance?
Yes, it was based on last year's quote that we received for 3 years with cost an inflation adjustment of 3%, I believe it was.
And my last question refers to our audit. which was $14,000. What, do you happen to know what it cost us last year, or is that about normal? Did they do anything different this year?
What I noticed is that seemed reasonable for the cost for a water and a sanitation district, which was what I was familiar with. But Michelle, do you recall last year's cost?
About the same, wasn't it?
Sorry, I'm off mute now. It was pretty close. A couple of years ago, we contracted with them to do, it was last year actually, contracted with them to do the financial statements on top of the audit. I used to do the financial statements, and it was determined that they could do them for us, so that price is right in line.
That's all I have, Carolyn.
Thank you, Tom.
I've got some questions. Coast printing and stationery, tide tables?
Yes. We had to, I believe we purchased tide tables from the shop that we have purchased from in the past up in Tillamook. That's what that was for.
So what do we do with those tide tables? Who gets those?
We keep them in the trucks and review them, especially during storm seasons. To monitor closely when we can anticipate having to shut off step systems along the river.
How many tide tables was that?
I believe it was probably eight. Was that an eight, Michelle? 21?
Sorry, 12. I don't know what to put my fingers.
I just think that, gosh, you go down to Shell Station and get them for a buck a piece.
They're big. They have big writing and more information.
That's the water. It's a waterproofing they paid for.
Yeah.
All right. TBC Security Services. Mm-hmm. Are we on a yearly, do we have a year lease with them?
I believe it's month to month.
Is there any way we could get that on a year lease or something, contract?
Possibly. I don't anticipate us changing anytime soon, but I don't know that the price would change. But based on our number of calls, if we had more calls into them from our customers, we at some point we'd be paying a little more, but I could look into it.
I'm just wondering, maybe we got a yearly contract, maybe we would be paying costs, or I don't know if we got calls, or you know, there might be a wash there or something. On page six. Connect equipment, SCADA, beach lift station, and 3K reservoir?
Yes.
What did we do there?
Those were our first two remote SCADA installations. I talked about it at the last board meeting.
Oh, okay.
And those were the first two we tried, and we're actually expanding under this year's budget. We had funds to expand and install three additional wastewater lift stations, as well as two well sites.
So, we're looking to be paid more for the other ones that don't have the SCADA, or they do have SCADAs?
No, there's still going to be a few without.
Okay.
Historically, we'd relied on the on-site alarms and sirens to notify customers of a problem. We'll now be once those are all installed, we'll be receiving notifications direct. They're incredibly useful. The reports we're receiving on a daily basis tells us we've already seen things we didn't even know. We can see how many times lift stations kick on during a day and what their average run time each time they kick on is. That in itself has been a tremendous help.
So we could use that for hours run on our lift station. How much it were exceeding, or
we
can track that?
One example, and one of the ones that we are preparing to install here within a few weeks, will be airports of the station. We'll be able to monitor the levels of the wet well, but also we'll be able to see real-time flow readings from the flow meter that already exists there. Most of our stations don't have flow meters, but at airport we have flow meters, so we put a more powerful RTU in to monitor real-time information. But all of these sites will have real-time alarm capabilities. I want to clarify for the board that we purchase these systems to monitor our remote facilities. They have the capability of controlling our facilities, but because we have an existing control system that works pretty well, we don't have a desire to do both at this time.
Okay. And then Coastway Construction for Halloween detection debris?
Yes, that was from the Labor Day windstorm. The trees, all the trees that were removed, we finally received an invoice and paid them for that work.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
We approve the accounts payable for February 2nd, February 15th, and February 28th of 2021.
I'll second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for February 2nd, February 15th, and February 28th of 2021. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Tom? We're missing Tom again, but with four eyes, we will go ahead and approve the payables and move forward.
Carolyn, can I ask, is that Tom's cell phone that's on there with the plus?
But,
no, that's not.
Do we have a guest from the public, or is that?
Yes, we do.
Okay. It just had a plus on it. I couldn't tell who it was. Thank you.
All right. And Rochelle, we'll need an identification if you don't have one of that guest for our meeting minutes somewhere before we end the meeting.
It's actually an employee, Ray Browning.
Okay, great. Thank you. As long as you know, then we're set for meeting minutes. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions on that report for the authority manager? Hearing no questions, we will move on to the next item. Item 5, the manager's report. Kirk?
Okay. COVID-19 impacts, we've had to recently enhance even more our social distancing requirements here at the office. We had one operations employee who was self-quarantined after vacationing out of state, and he's about to return back to work as normal this week. I did want to point out to the board that I attempted to get COVID testing done just as a precautionary measure, and without symptoms, it was nearly impossible to do. I'll leave it at that, but I've previously been told that this could be done through the urgent care in Tillamook, and that did not prove to be the case. So that was a little disappointing, but given the time that it takes for the results, and if our employees don't have symptoms, it's easier to wait it out.
Kurt?
Yes, Cameron.
When I went in for my pre-surgery in my quarantine down there at Lincoln City by the eye doctor station. They do COVID testing walk-in.
Do they?
Yes.
And okay.
So that might be an option down there. But
thank you.
It's in the area by the doctor's office.
Okay. I'll look into that, and I definitely have to go a different route. It didn't work in Tillamook, and at many levels. So, okay, thank you. I also continue to follow updates provided by the Tillamook County Health Department to determine when the vaccine will be available for essential workers. And as I know many of you monitor those sites, we're still not eligible. And I noticed that yesterday the 65 plus group was a part of that program. So congratulations to some.
I might just add to that, it is a concern. I heard the person at the health department who is in charge of the vaccine program today during the chamber meeting. And if I remember correctly, I'm not sure I wrote this down, my age group is currently eligible to receive a vaccine, but because of supply, the vagaries of supply and them not knowing how many they're going to get each week and trying to satisfy so many different audiences that are eligible, I'm not expected to actually be scheduled for another couple of weeks, even though I was eligible a week ago. So it's a very complex situation they're trying to roll out. I don't envy them.
I've got a question. With the COVID, if we come back together in a board meeting, are we all going to be required to have a COVID shot?
To have a COVID what?
A COVID shot.
You mean to have a vaccine?
Correct.
I don't think we've looked at that issue yet, and I think we're probably way ahead of the game on that.
So, yes, we would have a board?
We haven't discussed that at all. Remember, right?
Okay.
I don't know what the guidelines will be on indoor gathering once the majority of the population has been vaccinated or they determine that there's herd immunity.
I mean, it's open for discussion. What's everybody's feeling on this?
I think that if we're going to discuss that issue, we'll need to put it on the agenda because we would be setting policy, and I'm not sure we're quite ready, but I think it's something that's important to note. But I think we're at least 2 or 3 months out from that.
All right.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the governor just extended the state of emergency to into May. So that is at least a couple of months out before we'll be looking at the possibility of a meeting in person.
You want me to go back to the manager's report, Carolyn?
Please, Kirk.
Okay. Generator maintenance, we talked about that briefly. I believe the board probably saw that was done. Our timing was perfect on that because we were having some challenges at our Horn Creek Water Treatment Plant generator. Also at our Hanna lift station where some mice had chewed up some wiring and that needed to be repaired. Cummins was well prepared. They brought down with them some parts that we needed, got those fixed, conducted our generator maintenance, and we should be good for another year. In addition to that, and I was looking, somehow I lost my notes that I took during the the freeze storm that hit the southern United States particularly hard this year. I think there was something like 650 water systems that had to issue boil water notices as a result of lost power and eventually loss of water. One thing I'd like to point out, with our system, we have generators that can be used to operate all of our facilities, and it's a tremendous benefit. If we had a long-term power outage like they experienced in most larger utilities, we're prepared to continue to provide services where some of them could not, many of them could not. So anyway, my point was the timing was perfect for that. And then also I wanted to inform the board that we're preparing to conduct a membrane system health check at our Horn Creek Water Treatment Plant. Those membranes haven't been evaluated in several years. We're reaching the end of our expected life, the expected life expectancy, so we've scheduled Hall Corporation to come out and conduct the complete assessment on that here in May. We've got a date. It was a couple months out before we could make it out, but we're scheduled for the first week of May. And then I want to move on to personnel issues. And I see that Ray is on the line, but Ray Browning has provided his notice of his last day with the authority will be July 1st, 2021. I recognize the board has seen this as it was part of the manager's report, but I personally want to say it's going to be a tremendous loss to the authority. His wealth of knowledge, his skills in operation are a tremendous asset to the authority. And we're going to miss him. There's a lot of things he does that goes beyond the normal operational duties that I've seen elsewhere. And it's gonna be difficult to fill those shoes. But I wish him the best.
Hear, hear.
Yes, hear, hear. Right. Hey, carries with him a lot of institutional memory that is extremely valuable, as you said.
Absolutely. He knows everybody.
Well, not only that, yeah, some of the skills that he brings with him, I have a gut feeling that we're going to be outsourcing some of the work that he's able to do in-house.
Well, his construction, his deck work is pretty awesome. See if we can get some more of that if he wants to play hammer.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about his carpentry skills. So if you recall, when our disc filter was installed, he fabricated the stand that we have for our operators to stand up and work on those. Came out really well.
Yeah, that's a safety, you know, so nobody would get hurt. You know, that's thinking about your other employees that being able to do their job without getting hurt.
Correct.
I mean, that's worth all.
Yeah. I also want to point out that the recruitment for the upcoming office assistant vacancy should also begin soon. And that's something that I want to start moving on pretty quick.
Kirk and I had a conversation about the office assistant vacancy. I went back to the November 2017 MP3 file to remind myself of how we got there in terms of taking that part-time position and making it full-time. And from what I could gather in the notes, that the board approved that the position would go to full-time based on the fact that the authority was purchasing a inventory system and that we had an additional workload with the wastewater treatment plant paperwork and monitoring of financial information. And in order to get those two projects accomplished, we made that office assistant position full-time from part-time. And I believe that if we're going to keep it at that, we may want to revisit and have a discussion about that particular issue so that we're clear on where we were and where we are and where we're headed. But we cannot do that without noticing that as an agenda item. So I will pick that up in the next meeting on the agenda, unless anybody else has any comments about it at this point.
No, it just seems to go, to me, to go kind of hand in hand with planning ahead for Ray's departure too. I think it'll be valuable to have some discussion about the bigger picture of staffing before we move forward on any particular action.
Yes.
Right, thank you. Anything else on the manager's report?
I would like to apologize for not including any graphs and charts this month, this being the second of the month, and with the meter changeout program occurring the last several weeks, didn't have the data available to make an accurate report on Friday, and next month I'll get back on track with that.
You know, Kirk, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I saw that they weren't there, I looked at the timing and how early the meeting is in this month, and I thought, well, maybe the data is not compiled yet. But I had gotten so used to seeing them, I went back and checked the message two or three times to make sure I hadn't missed them.
I should have made a statement when I sent out the information about that. I truly thought that I was going to be able to include it in Friday afternoon going into evening. It just wasn't coming together well. But thanks for noticing, and yeah, I'll be looking at it closely once it's complete, and we'll get back on track next month.
All right, then we'll move forward to item 6, unfinished business. First item there is water and sanitation master plan update. Kurt?
I feel good about the progress that's been made over the last couple of weeks. Parametrics has raised some questions regarding system development charges for me to consider, as well as staff. I propose that we actually have a conference meeting, a video conference meeting, sometime this week to discuss some of those details. They are looking at different methodologies for calculating some of our SDCs, and they wanted our input in regards to that. So I'm happy to share with the board any of that information prior to them wrapping up, the board so chooses to discuss this before we give them any clear direction on how to proceed. But at this point, it's not exactly clear to me what they're proposing. But I definitely don't want them to go in a different direction than the board desires.
Kirk, that would be a meeting with you and Michelle, with the engineers.
Michelle, and I would. I hope that we'll at least discuss it and make sure that we vet out any ideas they might have, go from there. It's very possible that there won't be any significant changes to the structure, but there also might be something that we would want to at least have some input on.
Kirk, did we clarify that in the scope of work relative to how the SDCs were going to be looked at all?
I would have to go back and review the scope of work to see specifically. I think this is right in line with what they were expecting to do. I guess what I didn't expect was there to be some proposed changes in the format. I believe that they're using sound judgment in what they're proposing, but I'm not sure that that's a better way to do it than what is currently being used, quite frankly. And so I want to raise that, at least that issue with them.
I have two questions regarding that. One is, if they are going to propose a different method of calculating SDCs, one is, are there any restrictions in the ORSs to go between one flavor and another? And second, if they choose to propose a different way of doing it, how does the board compare how it was done before with how it's being done now so that we can have a basis upon which to make a decision? And it may be that if we're looking at something different, we're going to need two versions to look at, because I would have a hard time questioning a new way of calculating it against what was done prior, and in that same way have a question about how I would communicate that to the public.
Yes. And I think I could shed more light on this. I could break it down into the big picture. What they're proposing is that at least we look at utilizing water meter sizes for the determination of SDC charges versus equivalent dwelling units, EDUs. We're currently using EDUs to determine apartment and RV type charges, and they're proposing utilizing water meter size in lieu of that.
I thought there was a factor in there for water meter size in the past.
There are for some, but not for the RV parks, not for apartments, not for hotels.
So I guess I kind of have to agree with Carolyn that I, just to avoid confusion and to be able to understand it myself, it would be nice to see two proposals, one the way we've traditionally done it, and one the way it is being proposed to consider, because it's going to get really confusing to me anyway in the decision-making process if we can't compare those two.
I completely understand, and that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Yeah, the two proposals definitely sounds like a doable option.
Excellent.
Sure, thank
you.
We look at the two.
It's complicated enough, but we'll do everything we can to follow it.
Well, and I will say this, that one of the things that concerns me about utilizing meter size for these calculations, the equivalents for meter sizes have to be spot on for that to be accurate. Number of dwelling units or dwelling unit equivalents is something that you can easily define, which is the way it's currently being done. I think it would be more accurate the way we're currently doing it. But I am open to listening to what they're proposing.
Kurt?
Well, hang on, Cameron. I think Tom had his hand up.
Okay.
Tom?
That's all right. I'm having network difficulties, although I can't prove it on my computer, but it keeps cutting in and out. But I had my hand raised for a second, and I think it was an audio distortion. I didn't understand you were saying SDCs. I thought you said FDCs. I was wondering what that was.
Sorry. Yeah, I knew exactly what I was thinking about, but I was talking about system development charges.
All right, thank you. Cameron?
Yeah, Kurt, how many different meter sizes do we have that we're using for business, residentials?
Based on, well, we basically have 5/8 inch meters for most residentials, and then we go up from there to 1 inch, 1.5 inch, and 2 inch. I don't believe from the AMR project that we purchased any 3-inch water meters or larger, so 2 inch is the largest we have.
So that would take a commercial thing like an apartment building or anything else of a big flow?
Yeah, for anything we have in our system, the 2 inches has been adequate. In some cases, though, they may have multiple meters as well.
Kirk, I have another question. Is the suggestion of the engineers that we look at a different way to do it?
They want us to, they're suggesting that we consider doing it a different way. That's why I really would like to talk to them and at least express my concerns about the accuracy of water meter size being able to accurately reflect the number of people served. From what I've seen is in other locations, a lot of times developers undersize the water meters to pay lower development fees or system development charges. And so you have a project where their meter is grossly undersized for the number of units that they serve. That's one of the disadvantages to doing it that way. So I'm open to listening to what the engineers have to say, and I want Rochelle and Michelle to be a part of that discussion as well, so that we gain a better understanding of what they're proposing. It didn't seem like they strongly suggested that we change. They just proposed it.
If they're proposing, Cameron, I'll get right to you in a minute. If they're proposing something new to us that we take a look at, I don't want to be charged for that thought process on their dime. If they think we should do better, that's part of the scope of work that we put out there. But I feel like it's going to take a lot of hours to look at something new and different that might not actually be something we want or might not benefit us. So I have some concerns about the bottom line and the bill that we're going to get in looking at something that we may not benefit from.
Understood.
Cameron?
I'll make sure that, and I'm relatively certain that won't be the case.
Okay. Cameron and then Ann?
Well, Kurt, we've got that development going up on top of by the cave. My concern is, are we going to have enough pressure to get up the hill and down? I know that the designer or the engineer, did he under pressurize, or do we have enough pressure for all that on the meters and stuff?
What project are you talking about?
Oh, the one going up the hill towards the cave, up the hill at the cave.
You mean the turnaround area?
No, going up towards the cave north.
Are you talking about...
I think that's just two residential structures.
Yeah.
No. One that the guy cleared up there on, what is that, Ridge or the old Coast Guard Road?
On the west side of...
Right, Tom's place.
I believe that's two residential.
Oh, yeah. That's ultimately going to be two, maybe possibly three, but two is what we saw as proposed.
Now,
that's only going to be two residential units.
Oh, I thought there were going to be more in there.
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's what threw me a curve. I thought you were talking a bigger project.
I wanted to just return for a moment to the discussion about the meter sizes and clarify something in my own mind. It was my understanding that when we have an application for new construction, no matter the size or anything, that that we participated in designating the size of the meter required to serve that project. Is that correct? So we wouldn't have what might happen in other jurisdictions where a developer would purposely undersize a meter to save money, because we're approving those things, right? Don't we?
We do.
Okay.
I would need to look into the single family equivalent ratios that are used for the larger meters versus the rates. It would require some definite research, but I'll find out more from the engineer.
But we're involved in that decision making before the project goes forward, is my point. So we're not going to have a situation where somebody's going to be able to choose to undersize a meter for our service. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's what I was going with.
I could be reading too much into that, Ann. Sorry, Cameron.
Whereas at this point, meter size is based on zoning. No?
No. Well, we could, typically for a large project, we would require a hydraulic network analysis to be conducted, and that would verify that they would have to have an engineer verify that they can meet all of their expected use demands. But there's another side of it that concerns me, and that's whether the meter size would be equivalent to the number of units. I want to look at that more closely before I could be switching over.
We'd be selling ourselves short.
Absolutely. We've got to be very careful when we make that change. And I'll have that discussion with the engineers this week and make sure they understand that. And if they need to, they can look at that without charging us. I'll make sure.
And are we still on track to have copies, hard copies and electronic copies of the Water SDC on the 12th?
Yes, we are.
Thank you. Anything else on this particular subject? Moving on then, water meter installation. Kirk?
Yes, I'm happy to point out that 1,150 water meters have been installed by Pleasant Hill contractors. I have to admit, it wasn't a fun process. They moved extremely quickly. They often had 8 to 12 workers replacing meters and trying to stay ahead of them and providing notices and repairing leaks and turning water back on after the fact. Sort of took a toll on us, but it all got done, and I'm very happy that it's completed. And next month we anticipate utilizing our new billing software to actually get our water meter readings utilizing our drive-by equipment.
Cool. Did we have any inquiries to what we were billing, what was going on?
We did, and I have to say when the contractor started moving quickly, a big part of the job is to repair leaks if they develop. Well, I think we were fortunate there weren't more. We didn't have that many, but each one is very time-consuming. It can pretty much consume our available staff. It also takes a lot of time to walk through neighborhoods and put notices on every door. So when they were installing 150 meters a day, we were scrambling to stay ahead of them. So we got behind on a couple occasions, and we heard about it. I can assure the board that every time we provided a notification, if there was a complaint, the customer always said, "I did get your notice," and that made it better. So lesson learned. Going into this, we just never anticipated the contractor was in as big a hurry as they were. But so that was a big lesson learned. But overall, I think we're doing well. And I have to also point out that just changing from 1150 old meter reading numbers and converting that over to new ones was quite a billing challenge as well. So Rochelle and Michelle had to work extremely hard to get all of those done in this month is also.
Good job, ladies.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Michelle. I saw your cat and I couldn't help but remember that you shushed me last time the cat was on the screen.
I am so sorry. Pepper wants to be where Pepper wants to be, and her favorite place is the office working on the desk. So my apologies.
She's and always
she's outside,
welcome.
She's crying.
She's always welcome, Michelle.
Thank
Maybe
you.
She wants to go visit out at Corn Creek and check out the mice.
Well, she really likes to be sitting on a desk on top of the paperwork.
I got mine on top of the couch.
My apologies, everybody.
No problem.
But she's gonna be around for a very long time. She's only 5 months old.
Ooh.
Thank everybody there at the plant for all of us, for all the work that went into this project, even though we hired a contractor. It sounds like there was quite a bit of effort that came from our own staff, even on the part that they did. So I hope they appreciate how much we appreciate them.
Agreed. Michelle?
Caroline?
Yes.
Can a staff member talk about that?
Yes.
I would really like to say kudos to Jeff Hippinger and Dale. Both of them did a great job on that project. They worked their hearts out.
It's really nice to hear. I mean, it's not surprising,
but
it's good for them.
I'd like to give a kudos to Leonard being over at Joanne Waters' house, taking care of her mess.
Yes, he did.
We received,
so I'll mute him.
We received some really nice cards and an Easter basket full of candies from her today, showing her appreciation. It was very nice.
He's an awesome person, Mom.
And I also want to point out, since we're on this track, I want to point out our appreciation for your kind words and what you noticed that your neighbors experienced when our employees had to repair their little step system.
Yeah, I was going to mention that later under director comments, but while you mention it, I didn't want the whole board to be aware that my neighbors across the street, as Kirk said, had some major wiring, I believe it was mostly, but there was some pump work to be done on their step system. And from the minute they realized the problem, I don't know what, 9:30-ish in the morning, and they placed a call, which Rochelle handled perfectly, according to them. And then within 10 minutes, Leonard was on the scene. Ray was right behind him. And my neighbor said that they just worked together like a well-oiled machine, obviously knew what they were doing, had the equipment, got it done, talked to them, the customer, along the way so that they were aware of what was happening. And honestly, I talked to the neighbors the next day after all of it was over with, and he just couldn't get them happier. So it's nice to hear that news. Kirk passed along those appreciations to Rochelle and Ray and Leonard, I believe, last week when I emailed him, but I didn't want the whole board to be aware of that.
And I'll share a quick story with you. I did hear Ray reading that to Leonard this morning, your email specifically, because Leonard has a habit of not reading all of his emails. But it meant a lot to him is what I'm trying to point out.
But I think it's excellent that we can identify how well and how productive and complimentary that our staff how they work together and the good job they do for our community. It can't be stated enough. All right, shall we move on to billing and financial software upgrade?
Michelle?
We are actually on schedule to start early this month, probably this week, and with a projected end date of the end of April. And we have had several meetings and discussions with Springbrook about the update, and I feel very confident that we are going to be on time.
Bravo. Anybody that can marshal software engineers and getting something done on time is a hero in my book. Anything else on that, Kirk?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be a great step forward.
All right. Item 6D is our in-person community meeting. We're keeping that on the agenda so that we don't forget it in any way, shape, or form, but I don't think there's any news on that. Is there any questions from anybody? Okay, moving on then, item 6E, Budget Committee vacancy. We have one vacancy on our Budget Committee, and we have two applications in our packet. Is there any discussion on these two applications? Kirk, do you have any comments?
I'd just like to point out that when I did drop off the application for CAT, He said if someone else was interested, he'd rather they get it, but I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that he was definitely going to have our backs if we couldn't fill it with someone else.
And I really appreciate that, Kirk, that you had that conversation with him, and I had a similar conversation with him, and I particularly appreciate that he was willing to step up if needed. He's, as all of us know, he's very, very busy with his business. And so I personally, I can't remember exactly what the process is here, but if it requires a motion, I'll make a motion.
It does.
So I'll move that we accept the application from Lou Ann Anderson as a member of the Budget Committee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we accept Lou Ann Anderson's application for the Budget Committee. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It is unanimous. We have invited Lou Ann Anderson to join our Budget Committee. Kirk, will you follow up and let her know the decision of the board?
I sure will.
And I assume that if she wants any information prior to the process starting, she'll get a calendar from you, but if she needs any additional information, then she'll sit down with Michelle or you to chat about it, or maybe even both.
Okay.
And I don't want to exclude Rochelle from that either, so, yes. All right, item 6F, board workshop. We are scheduled for a board workshop on March 23rd. I need to check, do we have a time on that? I don't think we have a time yet. Does 10 to noon work? That's usually when we've had our workshops. Sean, you're the one with the most restrictive schedule, I believe.
Yeah, that works for me. I just want to reiterate that that's contingent on, you know, getting the report on the 12th.
So. Absolutely.
Yes, I agree completely.
We will then set that board workshop for 10 to 12 on the 23rd of March via BlueJeans. And I am in contact with Rob Mills at this point. He's proposing some things. We'll meet by phone on later this week, and I will have information to the board about that meeting probably around the time that you get the actual master plan, so that we can begin to be focused on what we're going to discuss and how we're going to go about it. Remember that we need to review the master plan and question Kirk about projects before we get into that workshop, so that we can look at priorities and urgencies and things like that during the workshop. Any questions or concerns or things that you'd like me to bring up with Rob at this point? All right. Hearing none, we will move on to item 7, the new business, and that would be our audit. Kirk, do you want to talk about the audit?
Yes, there's a few things I'd like to point out first. And the first thing, I reviewed the communication to the governing body document, and there's one thing of particular that I thought summarized it pretty well on page 206, but it's the results of the audit. And they identified in the letter to the board that the audit opinion was an unmodified opinion on the basic financial statements that have been issued. This means that they've given us a clean opinion with no reservations. They also provided no management letter to the board. So what that means to me is management letters are very common of things that need to be corrected, pointed out to the board, and to get a result that didn't issue any management letter is very uncommon, I believe, and very special. I think it's a testament to how good our accounting staff have done to keep good records. So that was the only thing I felt compelled to really share from the letter. I'm happy to also go through the actual financial report. And one of the first things I wanted to point out here is on page 11. It identifies our cash in investments status. And I think that's a good location for the board to review the amount of cash that's available in our accounts. Moving on to page 15, our long-term obligations. I've shared some good news with you as far as cash on hand, but long-term obligations, it shows that there is some outstanding debt based on grants and loans that have been received in the past. And that's all identified on page 15. And then finally, I just want to sort of go over the Water Enterprise Fund on page 19A a little bit and point out that water revenues, this is the Water Enterprise Fund, water revenues came in at $623,236 with expenditures at $600,283. To me, that was an important thing for us to evaluate closely. And then similarly, on the Wastewater Enterprise Fund on 20A, our revenues were $708,637 versus expenditures of $638,743. And again, these are the actual revenues and expenditures. And I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
I don't have any questions, but I do have a lot of compliments. I think this is that's a great looking report. We're in good shape. And in particular, we're even more confident that things, the accounting practices are being handled accurately and professionally. And I couldn't be happier to see that, as we have seen virtually every year.
and I have to give credit to both Michelle and Rochelle. They did a fabulous job working with the auditors, as well as their day-to-day general accounting principles that they practice. I think it reflects well on the authority.
Michelle, you're going to be truly missed next year.
Cameron, thank you very much. Here's the thing. She's got this. She's got it. She's going to be just fine. She's going to be fabulous.
Absolutely.
Well, she had a great mentor.
Well, thank you for that, but she's got this. She's going to be just fine.
Any other comments on the audit? Thank you for a wonderful job. All right, item 8, guest comments. Do we have any guest comments, Kirk?
Let me check my emails real quick. No. Get on the right page. No comments.
All right, thank you. Item 9, director comments. Okay, hearing none has a comment he'd like to make at the end of today's meeting. So, Kirk, I'll give the floor to you.
Okay. I may catch everybody off guard here, but I would like to provide a verbal notice to the entire board that I'm planning on retiring earlier than I had originally anticipated. But I felt that, you know, I can work as I've been working up through June. It's I'm starting to realize that I'm reaching that age where it's becoming more challenging and more stressful for me to do my job. And I'm showing some medical symptoms that have me a little concerned. And so, you know, for my own best interest, I feel I need to sort of take a more relaxing approach towards life as I approach my retirement. And I know it's not going to be easy to fill my position, so I want to give you guys as much notice as I can. And I want to assure the board that I'm happy to continue doing all I can to keep the authority working well. I'd like to help the authority find a good replacement if that's something we can do quickly. So I appreciate this opportunity out here. I couldn't be happier where I'm living. I'm just having challenges dealing with stress levels, I think. And I think it's, you know, I've not looked for other jobs. It's nothing like that. It's more a matter of me just questioning myself and what I want to do with the rest of my life. I think I want to just find something a little more relaxing, and I'm not even sure if I will go back to work. I do have a retirement income from a previous employer, and I've been collecting that, but like most people, I've not been able to save the money that I thought I would, but I think I've saved enough to where I could actually make a change in my lifestyle like this. So I feel terrible that I wasn't able to work longer, but I think it will be, you know, better for my health to consider this change in my life at this time. I'm not sure who to look at as I said all of that. And you're on my sitter screen, so I've been watching you mostly, but I really appreciate all you guys have done for me, and I've learned so much here. I came in here thinking that I knew just about everything there was to know about utilities, and there was so much I didn't know. And it was harder to learn a new job than I thought it would be. but it's been an enjoyable experience, and I will miss all of you. Don, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, so just to make sure I understand what you're saying, are you saying that you'll be here through the end of this fiscal year?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I'm happy to provide a written notice to the entire board. I just wanted to give a verbal heads up before I do that. And, you know, a lot of careful thought was put into it, and so I'm not going to come pleading back for another chance to change my mind. I know it's just too important. I really believe the authority has to move forward to find a replacement and to find a well-suited manager for this position. And I have to add, too, it didn't make it any easier knowing that Ray, my right-hand man, would be retiring about that time as well. It would have been a real challenge for me to operate here, to be effective without his assistance.
Any other comments from the board at this point or questions of Kirk? I think that I can say that Kirk called me yesterday with this information, and that I was speechless and just couldn't say anything right away. And now that I'm more into understanding that this is where we're headed and what's going on, this is probably not the appropriate place to continue to talk about it much, because we haven't noticed the public that we'd like to have more of a discussion. Given how busy our upcoming schedule is, and that it took us, I think, 8 months, 9 months to find Tony's replacement, I would like to strongly suggest to the board that we meet either Thursday or Friday in executive session and look at this in a little more detail, and then come back into session with a plan that in terms of how we're going to move forward. Is the board willing to do that? Can you make yourselves available?
Yeah, I can be available on Friday, but not Thursday.
I agree that it is of paramount importance, though, to have that discussion sooner rather than later.
Sean?
I am not able to meet on Thursday or Friday.
When's the soonest that you could meet?
I don't know. There's so many irons in the fire right now with what's going on in the cellar. I'm going to need some time to try to figure my schedule out. If I can move some things around, there's a chance maybe I could meet on Thursday, but right now I've got solid days booked through next Wednesday.
Time of day make a difference in your schedule if we were to meet earlier on?
Not really.
Days rather than the end of the day?
I don't know at this point. For sure. Yeah, I don't think so. I've just got solid days planned for the next week. I don't see how I can. I'll try. I mean, I'll try to move some things around, but you know, these are things that have been booked. You know, these are bottling dates and racking dates, and these are all things that can't just be changed, you know, with a couple days' notice. So, unfortunately.
I understand. I would truly appreciate your participation in it, and I think that the rest of the board feels that way. I think let's have you think about it. You and I touch base tomorrow and see if there's any options available.
Yeah, I mean, if you need to move forward, I think it's important to move forward with it too, you know, so it might have to happen without me if I can't move things around. But yeah, I'm going to need some time in the morning to try to change my Thursday around. I just don't know if it's possible to do, so.
All right. What's a good time to contact you tomorrow to just check in with you?
Early afternoon would probably be the soonest I'll have anything figured out.
All right. I'll plan to call at 1. If you're too busy, I can call back later.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. We'll work on that, and then I'll work with the rest of the board. Tom, you have a comment?
Yes, I was looking at my schedule, and I can be available on Thursday afternoon, but not in the morning.
All right.
And I can be available Friday also.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll work on putting that together. Watch your emails and texts, and I'll do my best to coordinate between us. Any other comments? Thank you, Kirk, for letting us know and giving us a heads up as soon as you felt that that was possible so that we can move forward on the with the authorities' business and do the best job that we can for our community. And on that note,
yes, thank you.
It is 6:11, and I will adjourn our meeting.